The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop looking out over London.
Good night and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight. With Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening.
This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high-wage jobs, will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Mr. Speaker, Mr. Vice President, members of Congress,
Vladimir Putin, the state of our union is a mess.
I believe strongly in lying and lying and lying.
Don't forget, I gave a lot of money to a porn star.
We have begun to drain the swamp of members of my cabinet.
Watch me
drink the water with two hands. The time has come to recognize that Donald Trump was never the right solution for our country.
Well, that's true. Unfortunately, that wasn't actually what was said last night. That was the Stephen Colbert's cold open for The Late Show. Stephen Colbert was on live last night after the State of the Union address. Not sure that it was worth it. I'm not sure that it was worth me watching the whole thing, but I promised you I would. I said I'd watch it so you didn't have to. So we'll go over a good part of what went on today. But before we get there, let me share a little bit more of Colbert for you or with you, because he was quite good. On a just truly awful speech.
At the beginning of his speech, he listed some of the natural disasters we've endured this year.
We have endured floods and fires and storms.
And Stormies. Don't forget her.
Oh, yeah.
She was one of the most expensive disasters for you personally. And he reached out to those still recovering.
To everyone still recovering in Texas, Florida, Louisiana, Puerto Rico, and the Virgin Islands, everywhere. We are with you, we love you, and we always will pull through together.
What planet is he on?
That is going to be a comforting message to the people of Puerto Rico once they have electricity to turn on their TVs. And still a million people, right?
Yep.
A million people in Puerto Rico still don't have power. And he followed up on that inspirational tone.
If there is a mountain, we climb it. If there's a frontier, we cross it. If there's a challenge, we tame it. If there's an opportunity, we seize it.
If there's a burger, we eat it. If there is a porn star, we bone it. If there's an immigrant, we deport it. If there's an investigation, we undermine it.
Sadly, true. Right. So the speech was abominable. I think that's an appropriate word. It was grim. It was dark. It was for all of the previews that said he was going to talk about bipartisanship and getting along. Nonsense. That wasn't in there at all. He did more of what he does, which is lie. Well, you know what? We're going to go through sort of an extended what's news and do it live. We'll do it live today since we no longer have talk media news anymore. Yes, his voice is so grating. He was August West in the chat room is saying Jimmy Kimmel is also very good. The monologue and no real answers, but still interesting segment with Stormy Daniels is her name. I believe. I did not watch that. I watched some of Colbert. I was so wound up after watching this. I was exhausted from watching it. Watching this man stand there and applaud for himself throughout the whole thing. The reason the speech was so long is not because of how many words were in it. It's because he droned on reading like this, the way he reads like a third grader doing a book report in front of the class. He did that. And then he kept pausing for applause lines that often didn't come. And when they didn't come, he'd start clapping to get the applause going. And you'd hear his applause above the applause of the room, a room full of sycophantic Republicans and Democrats sitting on their hands. But, Dave Johnson will join us in a little while to go through. Yes, it was a cell dump hour. You're absolutely right. Interesting comments in the chat room today. As though his handlers drugged him to help him focus. I guess they cut down on the Sudafed too, because he didn't get, we didn't get any of any of these.
And God bless the United States.
Yeah, he didn't slur his words, but boy, towards the end of it, he was dragging. Low energy, Don. Low energy, Donald. It was. Anyway, let's do it, shall we?
I read the news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
So it's a live edition of What's News Today. Donald Trump delivered his first State of the Union address Tuesday evening.
Over the last year, the world has seen what we always knew, that no people on earth are so fearless or daring or determined as Americans. If there is a mountain, we climb it. If there's a frontier, we cross it. If there's a challenge, we tame it. If there's an opportunity, we seize it.
Oh, give me a break.
So let's begin tonight by recognizing that the state of our union is strong because our people are strong.
See, he's clapping for himself. And he did it constantly throughout the whole thing. It was one of the more annoying facets of a truly annoying address. Anyway, in the third longest State of the Union address on record, clocking in at over an hour and 20 minutes, stretched out by Trump applauding his own lines, he hit on a number of issues while leaving out some really important topics as well. Right off the top, as Colbert told us, he mentioned some of the national or natural disasters the U.S. faced this year.
To everyone still recovering in Texas, Florida, Louisiana, Puerto Rico, and the Virgin Islands, everywhere, we are with you, we love you, and we always will pull through together, always.
Of course, his one and only mention of Puerto Rico left out the fact that while a third of the island still lacks electricity, FEMA is officially stopping giving out food and water today. Today is the day FEMA officially pulls out of Puerto Rico. He was slammed by Mayor Yulin Cruz on Twitter for that line. So much for love. You know, I guess that's his version of tough love. It's tough love. Trump took credit for falling unemployment numbers, most notably among African Americans.
And something I'm very proud of, African American unemployment stands at the lowest rate ever recorded.
Yeah, well, what he failed to mention is that the black unemployment rate fell just one percentage point in the year that he's been in office. A similar drop of one percentage point was recorded during the same, 11-month period in 2016. The drop was even more pronounced in each of the 3 years before that. It fell 1.9% in 2015, 1.5% in 2014, and 1.8% in 2013. In other words, the downward trend has continued under Trump, though at a much slower pace than in recent years. You didn't hear him mention that. Although the White House signaled before the speech that the president will call for unity, the speech was filled with divisive passages. He talked a lot about immigration, but he equated immigration with gang violence.
Tonight I am calling on Congress to finally close the deadly loopholes that have allowed MS-13 and other criminal gangs to break into our country. We have proposed new legislation that will fix our immigration laws and support our ICE and Border Patrol agents. These are great people. These are great, great people.
Oh, God.
That work so hard.
Deporting.
In the midst of such
breaking
danger,
up families.
So that this can never happen again.
Yeah. That whole part of the speech was just plain insulting. Here's Chris Cuomo talking about it.
There was a lot of dark talk. There was a lot of manifestations of threat. Here's a signature moment from last night.
Struggling communities, especially immigrant communities, will also be helped by immigration policies that focus on the best interests of American workers and American families. For decades, open borders have allowed drugs and gangs to pour into our most vulnerable communities. They've allowed millions of low-wage workers to compete for jobs and wages against the poorest Americans. Most tragically, they have caused the loss of many innocent lives.
So you had him laying out there. It's fact challenge, no question about it, but it was certainly something that was a salvo politically. Van Jones kind of captured how people on the left felt about it with this.
He was selling sweet tasting candy with poison in it. What he said, no, what he said about those young people, he implied, and he did it deliberately, that dreamers are gang members. And when you look at the numbers, facts matter. Facts matter.
Facts matter that some dreamers are gang members.
You want to
know the
numbers?
That's Santorum.
You know what the numbers are? 39 kids out of, this is according to the U.S. government, 39 kids.
Keep saying, picking on the dreamers and using that group as a villain base is a mistake statistically.
And then there was this line. This was to me the one line that stood out as the most jaw dropping, unbelievable, batshit crazy, are you fucking kidding me line of the whole night.
My duty and the sacred duty of every elected official in this chamber is to defend Americans, to protect their safety, their families, their communities, and their right to the American dream. Because Americans are dreamers, too.
Americans are dreamers, too. How about dreamers are Americans, too? That was the only time he mentioned the dreamers, by the way. He did mention, he did talk a lot about immigration, as I mentioned before, equating them, immigrants with gang members. That's how he mentioned immigrants. Gang members, thugs, murderers. He trotted out families of kids who were killed by gang members and included it in his section on immigration. It was truly, unbelievable. Regarding Trump's claims over the visa lottery program, here's Ari Melber.
The third pillar ends the visa lottery, a program that randomly hands out green cards without any regard for skill, merit, or the safety of American people.
That's a really sweeping claim here, that the visa lottery program would be basically something with, quote, no regard for skill, merit, or safety. That is false. In fact, under the law, this visa program requires U.S. government background checks for security, plus either a high school education or 2 years work experience. And that's according to the State Department. So a lot of different ways to get visas, of course, but it is wrong for the president to stand in front of the country and say the current system doesn't address safety or merit at all.
No, everything about it was wrong. But he's got the whole visa lottery thing totally back-asswards. But I don't know if that's by design or just sheer stupidity, probably a combination of the two. He did make some news, and all you got to do is realize that his goal is to undo every single thing Obama did or go against everything that Obama stood for. So Trump made this pronouncement last night.
I just signed, prior to walking in, an order directing Secretary Mattis, who is doing a great job. Thank you.
And he stuck that in. He's doing a great job. Thank you. It's in the middle of a sentence of what he ordered Secretary Mattis to do that he threw that in there and had a break for an applause line. and clap along with it like a seal in a circus.
To reexamine our military detention policy and to keep open the detention facilities in Guantanamo Bay.
He's keeping open Gitmo. It costs something like $11 million to house a prisoner in Guantanamo Bay, as opposed to $70,000 in one of those supermax facilities here on the mainland. Just saying. Unbelievable. Let's see. What else? I lost my place. Okay. So most telling were the things that he left out. There was no mention of Russia meddling in our election or the Mueller investigation. On the topic of opioid addiction epidemic, he seemed to view it as more of a law enforcement issue than a medical one.
In 2016, we lost 64,000 Americans to drug overdoses, 174 deaths per day, 7 per hour. We must get much tougher on drug dealers and pushers if we are going to succeed in stopping this scourge.
Scourge?
My administration is committed to fighting the drug epidemic and helping get treatment for those in need, for those who have been so terribly hurt. The struggle will be long and it will be difficult, but as Americans always do, in the end, we will succeed, we will prevail.
Yeah, he made no mention of how. Of course, the 24-year-old that he appointed to head up the ONDCP, who is now resigned or was fired or whatever, is no longer there. I guess, you know, he had a play date scheduled. There's no program to do anything to help with this opioid epidemic at all. And, you know, he had a number of guests in the gallery with horrifically sad stories, including this couple. One was a first responder who, I guess, came upon a woman who was about to shoot heroin, and she was pregnant. And this man and his wife adopted the baby. But I wonder what happened to the mother. You know, did she want to give up her baby? There's something just very Orwellian about that. Anyway, so he had a number of guests in the gallery with these horrifically sad stories, but there was no mention whatsoever of the mass shootings epidemic that we have in this country, including this year saw the largest one in history, right? The largest mass massacre of innocent people by a mad person with too many guns. No mention whatsoever of any of that happened in the past year. There was only one short mention of defending, of course, the Second Amendment.
We are totally defending our Second Amendment and have taken historic actions to protect religious liberty.
Okay, what religious liberty has to do with the Second Amendment is beyond me, but so was much of what he talked about last night. There was no talk whatsoever of climate change, but he did make this jaw-droppingly absurd statement.
We have ended the war on American energy, and we have ended the war on beautiful, clean coal.
On what? There is no such thing as clean coal. Beautiful, clean coal.
We are now very proudly an exporter of energy to the world.
Yeah. Well, we've been exporting energy, but beautiful, clean coal, huh? The missteps were many. He took credit for the turnaround of the U.S. auto industry.
In Detroit, I halted government mandates that crippled America's great, beautiful auto workers.
Beautiful. Everything's
so
beautiful.
So that we can get Motor City revving its engines again. And that's what's happening.
You get that? You hear that? Get Motor City revving its engines again. Yeah. Hey, Dump, you had nothing to do with turning around the auto industry. That was Obama. Yeah. He made unsubstantiated claims about U.S. generosity around the world. The gall of this man to say this.
The United States is a compassionate nation. We are proud that we do more than any other country anywhere in the world to help the needy, the struggling, and the underprivileged all over the world.
No, we do not. We absolutely do not. At some point we did, but aid to the world has gone down under this president more than any other time in history. In fact, all he wants to do is pull money from everybody else. And he boasted about filling judicial openings without mentioning the obstruction by Republicans to Obama filling vacancies for years. This was one of the more egregious moments.
Americans love their country, and they deserve a government that shows them the same love and loyalty in return. For the last year, we have sought to restore the bonds of trust between our citizens and their government. Working with the Senate, we are appointing judges who will interpret the Constitution as written, including a great new Supreme Court justice and more circuit court judges than any new administration in the history of our country.
Again, let me point out the reason that he's able to appoint more circuit court judges than any other administration in history is because the Republicans completely obstructed Obama, kept him from naming judges to the bench for over a year. The reason he got Neil Gorsuch on the Supreme Court is because he kept a Supreme Court seat open for almost a year after Scalia died. That, to me, is unconstitutional. But, you know, the Democrats have a knack for not fighting back or not doing it strongly enough. There's no reason that ever should have happened. And there's no reason Trump should be in the position to stack the courts the way he is. But he is. He said a few good things, too, although with little follow up.
One of my greatest priorities is to reduce the price of prescription drugs.
But meanwhile, he just named a new Secretary of Health and Human Services who comes right from Pfizer.
One of my greatest priorities is to reduce the price of prescription drugs.
And he's clapping again. Every time you hear that, that's him clapping for himself.
In many other countries, these drugs cost far less than what we pay in the United States, and it's very, very unfair.
It is.
That is why I've directed my administration to make fixing the injustice of high drug prices one of my top priorities for the year.
And if you believe him, I've got some swampy land not too far from here in Florida that I could sell you. That were true. If it is, I will gladly say I was wrong. He was right. I'll believe it when I see it. He also said this.
And let's support working families by supporting paid family leave.
Really? No further comment on either one of those. Paid family leave, that would be a good thing. Like I said, he said a couple of good things with no follow-up. He did talk about infrastructure, calling on, you know, a new infrastructure bill. Here's a little bit of that.
Tonight I'm calling on Congress to produce a bill that generates at least $1.5 trillion for the new infrastructure investment that our country so desperately needs. Every federal dollar should be leveraged by partnering with state and local governments and, where appropriate, tapping into private sector investment to permanently fix the infrastructure deficit, and we can do it.
Yeah, but you know what the problem is with that is because the public-private thing, we're talking about more toll roads, toll bridges. If you like paying to drive on the streets that we our tax dollars went to build, that's what this is about. It's all going to be a money-making venture. Yeah, and that, you know, and all because they had to give a tax break to billionaires, right? the really scary part came when he started talking about nukes again. And listen to how he contradicts himself in a 30-second clip, the way he contradicts himself.
We must modernize and rebuild our nuclear arsenal, hopefully never having to use it, but making it so strong and so powerful that it will deter any acts of aggression by any other nation or anyone else. Perhaps someday in the future there will be a magical moment when the countries of the world will get together to eliminate their nuclear weapons. Unfortunately, we are not there yet, sadly.
And he paused here, waiting for the applause that just didn't come. He talks about building up our nuclear arsenal yet again, and then talking about, getting rid of it in the next breath. This is the man who said he wants to build up our nuclear arsenal to sites previously unseen before. And of course, he went after North Korea again.
But no regime has oppressed its own citizens more totally or brutally than the cruel dictatorship in North Korea. North Korea's reckless pursuit of nuclear missiles could very soon threaten our homeland. We are waging a campaign of maximum pressure to prevent that from ever happening. Past experience has taught us that complacency and concessions only invite aggression and provocation. I will not repeat the mistakes of past administrations that got us into this very dangerous position.
No, he'll make it
worse.
We
need only look at the depraved character of the North Korean regime to understand the nature of the nuclear threat it could pose to America and to our allies.
What about the depraved character who's speaking throughout this entire thing, who has no grasp of the severity of the situation, of what he is playing with here? It's just stunning. He went on. There was more, but that's enough to torture you with. You get the idea. He talked a lot. It was a dark speech. There was no calls for unity, for bipartisanship. There was none of that, none at all. He did lay out his four pillars for. I guess I didn't pull that clip for the immigration plan, which is basically the plan that they floated last week that the Democrats already said was dead. You know, he's asking for $25 billion and then another $5 billion more for a wall and border security. And, this is his idea of negotiation, saying this is what I'll offer you and take it or leave it. Meanwhile, we're 8 days away from another shutdown, just as the Republicans have gone off to their retreat. By the way, the train that most of them were traveling on to West Virginia, where the retreat is being held, crashed into a trash truck on the tracks. None of the members of Congress were hurt, but I think two of the drivers of the train were taken to the hospital. One of the drivers of the trash truck was killed. Another one was seriously hurt, so there's nothing funny about that. And then next week, on the 7th, I believe, the Democrats go off for their retreat. On the 8th is when we run out of money yet again. And not only that, but we hit the debt ceiling in early March. So I don't know. You go figure it out. We're just in not a good place. You know what? Let's get Dave Johnson on the line, shall we? Let's see if I can do this at the same time as I do that. Let's try this.
Olson Johnson is right. I say we stay and fight it out.
Dr. Samuel Johnson's right about Olson Johnson's being right. And I'm not giving up my ice cream parlor that I built with these two hands for nothing or nobody.
Howard Johnson is right.
The latest in a long line of Johnsons who were right. Correct. It's Dave Johnson on the Nicole Sandler Show.
Hi, Yes, our pal Dave Johnson, a former fellow at the Campaign for America's Future. He writes at seeingtheforest.com. And he, you know, he promised to sit with me, albeit on the other side of the country, and watch that horrible shit show last night. So I didn't have to be the only one doing it, so you didn't have to. Hey, Dave Johnson.
Hey, and I'm not happy that I had to do it.
I know. I'm not happy,
not happy
either. I apologize.
Gross.
I apologize Gross. Profusely. And then sitting through these clips again, it's like post-traumatic stress syndrome coming up.
Yeah.
I think he looks at this all as sort of a joke.
Of course he does. Of course he does. He actually read from the teleprompter for a long time. They say it was a long speech. Of course, he read really slowly.
And then
the number of words actually matched other speeches that were much shorter.
Right. It was estimated to last about an hour, right? Which is what it should have if he had read it at a normal pace and then didn't stop to clap for himself at every perceived applause line.
Right. Do you know what's funny? If you go on Twitter or go around, I think the most common thing people are saying was he didn't poop on the stage, so he looked presidential, basically.
You know, how low can you go? Right. How low can you go?
And I checked before.
Dave?
You know, so he can't, because that's the only way they'll keep him from, you know, I guess you might say pooping himself in public again, you know. Anyway, so one of the clips you played was the beautiful clean coal.
Yes.
And that made me think, how much money must be these energy companies and these coal companies be paying to Republicans for all this, all of this that they get from them? And in the 1996 campaign, Bob Dole and Bill Clinton, and Clinton had been going after the tobacco companies, and Bob Dole said, we know it's not good for kids, but a lot of things aren't good. Drinking's not good. Some would say milk's not good. And then that night, I think it was Jay Leno, had a good line on that. He said, whoa. He said, I guess the check from the milk lobby was late. Because, I mean, really, beautiful, clean coal. What? Okay. Where do we begin?
You tell me. What stood out to you the most? I mean, for me...
What stood out to me
For
the
me,
most
it was the Americans are Dreamers, too line. I had to pick my jaw up
offensive.
Off the floor.
Yeah, just offensive. Just offensive. It was like the White Lives Matter, too.
Yes.
Line, you know? The point of Black Lives Matter was that until then, Black Lives hadn't been treated as if they mattered. I mean, the whole point of the whole thing was Black Lives Matter, too. And so they all have to counter with White Lives Matter, or All Lives Matter, or whatever,
yes,
to completely negate the whole point of the thing. But here's another thing about this whole Dreamers nonsense Trump puts out. So he puts out this, the cop, the first responder that adopted the baby.
Yeah.
You were asking, well, what did the mother think about that?
But right.
Here's the thing. The baby was white.
Yes.
The Dreamers are, you know, people of color.
Right.
They're kids. Don't they count, too? They're brought here really young. They don't even speak the language where they're supposed to be deported to. They've never been there, really, since they were old enough to know better. And yet we have to send them there. So, I mean, it's just so obvious what this is about. With this wall, okay, we got this huge wall, and it's all about protecting us, okay? Then if drugs and terrorists cross borders, why don't we have a wall with Canada, too? You ever heard them even mention the idea of a wall with Canada?
No, because Canada is white. And
exactly.
And also, people
like Norway.
People don't want to come here from Canada. People are trying to go to Canada from here.
Yeah, and Norway. How many people are trying to get here from Norway, you know?
Nobody.
You got 6 weeks mandated vacation. You got free health care. You got free education. You know, it's a socialist country.
Can
of course
I
they don't
say
want to come
something?
Here.
It's not free. And this is something that bugs me when I hear it's not free. Nobody is asking for anything for free. They pay for that stuff in their taxes. And yes, they have a fairly high tax rate, and that's okay. They don't mind it because they're paying for all these services. They're paying so that they don't have to pay extra to go to college for education. They don't have to pay extra for healthcare, like here in the United States, where we pay more for healthcare than any other nation on the planet for worse results.
Another way to word that could be that in that country, we, the people, decide that their government will do things for each other.
That's right.
That we, the people, will do things for each other. And so the benefits of their system flow to the people in their system, as compared to here, where beautiful, clean coal gets the priority and other things like that. So the thing that stood out to me most was this whole, the language he kept using, protect, protect, safety, safety, the immigrants, you know, we have to be safe from immigrants.
Yes.
We have to be protected from these immigrants. The open borders, drugs, gangs, low-wage workers compete for jobs. He said we just have to keep being, he talked about open borders and the loss of innocent lives because these criminals come here. He started going on about this weird MS-13. I guess that the right-wing media must be playing up. Remember when everybody used to be afraid that devil worshippers were stealing kids and all this? Well, they're probably doing the same thing now with MS-13, and, right. And they are. I mean, I hate to say I, you know, go look at right-wing Twitter and go watch right-wing media and stuff like that. I used to have a job that required it, so I still do, and that's what they're doing. They play up this horrible stuff about criminal disease, murderers, drugs, all this stuff. About that's what immigrants are. And it's just the most vile, disgusting stuff. And Trump, all through this thing, just went into this whole, criminals, violent, drugs, gangs. It was really something. Illegal, he said, here's one. Illegal, unaccompanied alien minors are criminals who kill people. You know? That's the Dreamers. It just went on like that, and it kind of made me sick. We need to be kept safe
right.
from immigrants. It just went on and on about protection and safety. So you know what this is? These policies are ethnic cleansing, and there's just no way around it. We're in the beginning stages of, if we don't stop this, this is ethnic cleansing talk. That's where these people are trying to take us with this kind of dehumanizing language.
Yes. Well, you know, Dave, and as Tripp, call me Tripp in the chat room, points out, he says MS-13 is as bad as they make it sound, but it doesn't have anything to do with immigrants. The fact that he's conflating immigration with the, you know, the scourge of the earth, with the, you know, these evil gang members, that's criminal.
Yeah. What about Nazi gangs?
Yeah, good question.
He didn't
mention them at all. Didn't mention climate change. That was the other thing. All the things he didn't mention. Didn't mention our gun shooting, mass shooting epidemic in this country. We had the worst mass shooting on U.S. soil ever this year. Not a word. None of the victims from the Vegas massacre in the box. Yet, you know, he had all these other just these horrific stories that the people that he focused on, that he brought to, you know, show a family whose two daughters were killed by these gang members, and he was trying to equate them with Dreamers.
Right. It's vile. It's what these authoritarian types do to get people worked up, and this dehumanizing they have to have, and other, all of these things, and we're seeing it unfolding right in front of our eyes. And, you know, there's all of these things about how to recognize what's going on when you live in an authoritarian country and the steps that you follow. And one of the things you have to do is you have to keep reminding yourself of the changes that are happening around you, the ways that you're being distanced from what you would call normal in the past, and how other things become normal. And so much of what Trump does now has been normalized enough that we don't bother to talk about it. I mean, here, just an example.
Okay.
A president gives a State of the Union while his wife is wearing white and won't come to Davos, possibly because of the payoff of money to a porn star that he was sleeping with. You know, I mean, you just gets, you know, and that's not the biggest scandal of the decade.
No, right.
You know, because Trump's behavior has become normalized to a point, and that's just like one thing that the 1.5-hour story of the ongoing, you know, this memo thing, for example. We've drifted way off of the speech, but this whole memo thing is an example of how far from normalized we are, where they commission the writing of a memo that is obviously going to be used to justify what they're calling a cleansing of the FBI. They commission a hashtag, release the memo, before the memo is even written, because they know what it's going to say. And so they start circulating this release the memo, as if there's some secret deep state thing they're hiding from us that they won't release, even though it's a memo they've just written. Release the memo. And then the Russian bots get on it, release the memo, mm-hmm. release the memo. And you get this drumbeat all across this right-wing Trump media, Republican media, you know, all across it going, release the memo. Trump's tweeting it. Everybody's tweeting it out. Everybody said, oh, my God, what's this memo? Oh, my God. And somebody said, oh, it's worse than Watergate. And so this memo that they wrote themselves.
Right. That's coming from Nunes's office.
Yeah, and it's all about, and they're talking about cleansing the FBI of these terrible people that are, okay, so that's what this memo thing is. You know, it's the result of a drumbeat to make it seem like there's some conspiracy to hide this memo, and they're going to release the memo out of what they call transparency, but they're not going to allow the Democrats' response to be heard by the public because it's classified. They're not going to listen to the FBI director or the head of the but people in the Justice Department and the intelligence community saying, no, don't do this. And it's, you know, it's a foregone conclusion. It'll be released soon. So
I don't know if you saw this, as he was leaving the chamber, the House last night, yeah. One of the members who clamors to shake his hand as he's leaving says, you're going to release the members? Oh, yeah, 100%. Don't worry about it.
I know. And so the fix is in, and this is the kind of authoritarian moment that we're in that is so much as normalized that the fact that Russian bots were pushing this memo isn't even... Okay, I'm getting all worked up here.
Suits that's okay.
Yeah. So we're in this moment where this speech, where he actually was able to give a speech for an hour, he talked about how it's for all Americans, but Trump doesn't even pretend that he's a president for all Americans, even a little bit. He makes it very clear repeatedly that he is the president of a faction of a political party, mm-hmm. and that everybody else is his enemy. And it's starting to seep through the government. We're seeing it happen. There was a resistance. It's been a year. But as he talks about and attacks the government and people in the FBI, there are people who understand that if they're going to have a career, then they got to do what Trump says. And there are people who understand that they're going to be attacked. And they're they're starting to retire and leave. Trump is slowly taking over the entire apparatus of our government. He even last night talked about how he wants the congressional authority to fire anyone in the government that he considers as working against what he calls the American interest. Now that is, as they talk about it, a cleansing.
Yes.
You know,
now,
purge.
Was that aimed at Mueller? Do you think that whole thing that any cabinet member should be able to fire somebody they deem unworthy of the job? I can't remember exactly how he put it, and I don't have the clip right here at my fingertips.
Right. I've got it somewhere too, but that Mueller's just the beginning of that. That is about clearing out the entire government of all the departments of government of anybody but Trump loyalists. That's what that's about. That we have a civil suddenly I forget the word, you know, the protections for government employees, civil service.
Mm-hmm.
There are rules about the civil service, about what, you know, what you can and can't do. And the reason, because they used to just stock the civil service as a payoff for a political payoff system. Of course, I forgot the word for that, too. But that led to the attempted, or was it the assassination of a president by a disgruntled person who didn't get his patronage, that's the word, a patronage job that he wanted.
Hmm.
So they changed the rules to make it illegal to use the government for patronage. And then we started having a functioning government that would continue and work for the people. They call that the deep state. But we used to have a government that worked ongoing work. You know, there's ongoing work on climate change, there's ongoing work on pollution, you know, all these things that our government does. This is about wiping that out so that the government can serve Trump's interests and Trump's cronies. Every part of our government, okay, the agriculture department, the, you know, little parts of the government that do things that are supposed to be for everybody will start doing things that are for those who give Trump enough money, which is how Russia works.
Yeah, and that's, by the way, Russia conspicuously absent from the speech last night as well. Not a word about the sanctions, about meddling in the elections, which leads me to the fact that we've got elections coming up in November. Dave Johnson, do you have any faith that these are going to be fair in any respect?
No, of course not. Well, first of all, look at the already ways that the election is already rigged that we already knew about with the mass voter suppression of
people of color. Right.
The drug war, you get arrested for a felony. In Florida, you can be charged with a felony for a $300 theft, and then you can't vote again, etc. So in Florida, what is it, 1.5 million people can't vote from that. There's all the voter suppression. 600,000 people in Wisconsin were kept from voting by voter ID, where Trump supposedly won by 27,000. But then there's the gerrymandering.
Mm-hmm.
Even though now courts are ruling that these gerrymandered districts are unconstitutional, they're letting them use them in the 2018 election anyway.
Yeah.
And gerrymandering is a big deal. Is it Pennsylvania or is it South Carolina? One of these states showed that where Democrats got 60% of the vote, they only got, 30 or 40% of the districts. For example, that's how bad gerrymandering is. There's those things, and then you start getting into election infrastructure. Now, here's the one thing a lot of people don't get. They know that you go and you vote, and then you get a reported result. What they don't know is that there's almost nowhere where they check the actual votes against the reported results.
No.
Even if you vote on a paper ballot, they don't check them.
Right.
If they run them through a scanning system, they don't actually check if the scanners are counting correctly.
That's right.
And I mean almost anywhere, okay? So
I can give you Florida as a case in point, where we had those electronic touchscreen machines that were so horrible, finally got rid of those, and we got the paper ballots that are scanned, but there's no provision anywhere in Florida law that allows for a paper recount.
Never mind a recount. How about just checking?
Yeah, an audit.
How about you take a random sample of precincts, and you take a precinct, and you count the paper ballots, or the however it was, if it's one of those voting machines that has a paper trail, check the paper trail against the reported results. They don't even do that. I mean, what if you go in and you find out that a vote counter is off by, 10 votes? Well, that means something's way wrong, because vote counters shouldn't be off by any votes.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
In Wisconsin, there, where they tried to have a recount and they didn't. They had a recount and they ran the same ballots through the same machines, that rigged game. They finally got money and checked a few precincts. Okay. These are these people who were refused to even once check paper ballots against the reported results. They checked a few precincts and they found out that the counts, the scanners were off against the paper. They didn't match. And now you still don't know, because you can't check everything. I mean, you can't project to everything, but What they found in Wisconsin was that if they had taken the same error level statewide, Hillary would have won Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly how you would rig an election if you were rigging it. But that doesn't mean it's rigged. What's really happening is that we simply don't know who's actually winning elections. So you asked me about 2018. I could go on and on. I'll just say it's the Republicans who are refusing to protect our election infrastructure, even in the face of what we now know was a hostile country actively trying to rig the machines. We know that now. They refuse to protect our election infrastructure. It's almost as if they know something we don't. But for years now, they've been refusing to do anything about this situation where we simply don't know who wins elections.
Right.
I'm not saying they're rigging elections. I'm saying we don't know who wins these elections.
Right.
We have no reason really to trust
what
we're told.
You put all that aside, and that's just the domestic side of it. Then there's the whole Russia interference thing. There was a story today about Russia interfering in Mexico's elections. They're doing this in lots of countries, not just here. And you had Mike Pompeo do an interview with the BBC last week where he said, yes, he believes that Russia will be meddling in the 2018 elections. They're already doing it. And yet, it's crickets from the White House, from this administration.
Yeah,
they
not
don't
just the White
care.
House, but the Republican Congress. They
yes.
refuse to protect our election systems. And as I said, almost as if they know something we don't, because people say, well, what if they're messing and they decide to go against Republicans next time? And the Republicans are refusing to do anything about it. So, you know, that brings suspicion bells in my head. But mm-hmm. the thing is, we just don't know. We ought to have elections where we at least can look and say, okay, that's who won, but we don't almost anywhere. And it just gets me going. I'm a computer guy. It's the computer people that have been sounding the alarms about these election systems for a long time. So there's that. Okay. We haven't even gotten to his infrastructure proposal.
No.
Which we probably should. That's his. Okay. Remember the stimulus.
Mm-hmm. Obama's stimulus, right?
By the way, the stimulus turned the fucking economy around. People don't give it credit. If you look at all those charts of employment and you see us losing jobs,
yep.
and at one point we're losing more than 800,000 jobs a month, then it starts to go back up again, back to where we stopped losing jobs. It's this mm-hmm. sharp V on those charts you see.
That's right, that bikini
where
chart.
Where it goes back up.
Right. Yep.
That's the stimulus.
Right.
Okay, that was the effect of the stimulus. It got us out of this losing 800,000 jobs a month back to where we were slowly starting to gain jobs a month. But then it ran out, so it didn't keep going. And the reason it didn't keep going and ran out was because they didn't put enough money into it, because they said, oh, God, everybody will freak out if we try to ask for $1 trillion. It should have been $2 trillion.
Mm-hmm.
They asked for 800,000, I think it was. And a third of that was wasted on tax cuts. So remember that, okay? You go back to that and how timid they were, because they were scared. Everybody will say, oh, but you're going to cause deficits. Okay, so we just finished a tax bill that causes $1.5 trillion of deficits. It's actually $6 trillion in tax cuts and then new taxes. So that's a big rebalancing of who benefits from our economy right there. But and now Trump comes out and he asks for what they say is $1.5 trillion. For infrastructure. So, you know, these guys aren't timid at all. They know damn well the whole deficit thing was just a scam to scare people out of Democrats being allowed to do things that make people's lives
right.
better.
Right. They only cared about the deficits when the Democrats were in charge.
When the Democrats wanted to spend the money on us, on
right.
people.
Right. Right.
So Trump comes out, he says it's $1.5 trillion, and everybody's, oh, good, finally. Finally. So he's got a finger on the pulse of what people want. But it's not $1.5 trillion, and it's not infrastructure. It's a scam, okay? He wants to put in $200 billion federal dollars,
mm-hmm.
not $1.5 trillion, $200 billion.
Right.
And that's towards tax credits and stuff to private companies to do projects.
Right, so they can charge you for driving on their roads and bridges. And
right. Part of it is handing over our infrastructure
mm-hmm.
to a few corporations so that they can charge us to use our infrastructure. But here's the kicker. Do you know what they're calling infrastructure?
What?
Oil pipelines.
Oh, God.
Yeah. The cost of these oil pipelines will be called national infrastructure, but will be paid for by us.
And it doesn't matter that our bridges are crumbling, that our roads are falling down, that that every time you drive over a bridge, you're taking your life in your hands.
These tax credits and tax subsidies and stuff will go to companies. A lot of it will be for projects they were going to do anyway for their own profit, like oil pipelines. But they specifically mention oil pipelines. Okay, now, then which companies are going to choose to privatize our highways and choose to build or repair bridges and then charge tolls and stuff? Well, that doesn't really work very well, as a lot of those states who have tried these privatization things have found out. They're usually scams. The companies say, okay, we'll do that, and they go in, they get a bunch of money. They steal the money, and then they go bankrupt, and then the state's stuck with it, stuff like that. I mean, that's what always happens with these things. So here, that's what's going on with this whole privatization thing. If you thought for a minute that people like Trump are actually going to try to provide the public with good infrastructure, well, that's about as likely as providing us with good education. No, they're privatizing education. Trump bragged last night about privatizing the Veterans Administration. He said, we're giving soldiers a choice. No, they're letting soldiers then with government dollars go to private doctors. Okay, private.
Right.
Where the profit goes to a few people instead of we the people enjoying our commonly owned things that we paid for and everybody being able to equally use. They privatize things and then people with the most money get to use them, but the money goes to private pockets.
Yeah. You know, the VA, the problem's notwithstanding, the system works if they would just fund it properly. Which they haven't done.
Yeah.
Right. It's a single-payer system. Right.
Exactly. So there's so much going on so fast, and it's happening so fast. We're like the frog in boiling water thing that I was saying earlier, you know, where if you don't recognize how much is going on around you, how fast, the simple fact that this guy is fresh off an accusation that he, you know, he's sleeping with porn stars just after his kid's born, et cetera, paying them off with campaign money, $130,000, which is flat out illegal. Of course, it's flat out illegal for a president to have a hotel in Washington and then profit from embassies putting on functions there. But
right, but if nobody calls him on it, then it's, you know, big deal, it's illegal if nobody's going to enforce the law.
Exactly, and we have this complicit Republican Party that now is not just ignoring oversight, but they're participating in the attacks on the FBI, et cetera, et cetera. They are participating. They are refusing to protect our election infrastructure, et cetera, et cetera. So this whole thing, I think, it's just happening so fast that it's very hard to get a grip on what's happening and how fast it's happening.
Right. I talk about
damn,
it's like
Nicole.
Things coming from all angles. Psh, psh, psh,
yeah.
Psh, psh, psh. And you can't keep up with it all. And I think
right.
that's all
right.
by design.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's all by design. Or maybe it's just all so bad we can't come to grips with it.
There's
but
that,
just
too.
That one simple fact that it's not even in the news. That the president was, you know, the whole thing with a porn star, and it's not even in the news. And then this evangelical crowd that don't care.
That's mind-blowing.
You made me, if I sound like I'm fuming and steaming, I'm not happy that I had to watch that thing.
I know, I'm sorry. But
I did it for you, and I did it for your listeners.
And I thank you for doing that, Dave Johnson. You know, I told them last night, I'll watch it so you don't have to. And as it got closer and closer to 9 o'clock, my stomach was in knots. My stomach's been in knots for, you know, over a year now anyway. But it was difficult. It was a tough one to watch. And he's just such a clown. But he's not funny. He's one of those scary clowns that kind of gives you nightmares.
Yep. Here we are, Nicole.
And here we are. So is there any positive note we can end on? That might be the most difficult question of all, huh?
Well, you know, with the whole election thing, everybody's putting all their hopes into 2018, but it's like this frog in boiling water thing is there's a big assumption about 2018 right there that, you know, I mean, will we all be able to vote? We already know how many people aren't allowed to vote, and that's increasing in all these states.
Well, that's why everybody's got to check and double check their registration and do it now, because it's primary season now, and primaries are the most important so that we can get actual good progressive candidates. Yeah. Dave Johnson.
Well, let me say one thing. I want to say one thing.
We got 20 seconds.
The thing that has worked in other countries when this stuff happens is when enough people just start showing up in the Capitol and standing around and then coming back the next day and coming back the next day so things don't function. That's how they get these clowns out of there in other countries.
All right. Well, we may have to do that. Dave Johnson. Find him on Twitter at DC Johnson and at seeingtheforest.com. Thank you so much, Dave.
Thank you, Nicole.
Bye.